Welcome back to another exciting episode of Action Dread. A trap of fabulous cast in the new film Psycho Sex Dolls is probably available everywhere. Just Google it, you'll find it. Writer, director, producer David Wiles here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Simon. Appreciate it.
So I got to start at the beginning. I want to start this location. I think this location makes the whole film. I mean, it's pretty much shot at this location, the whole thing. Yeah. But the thing is big, massive. I need to know more about this exact place.
What the studio location?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just a studio in Scotland that I pretty much shot most of the movie there in 6 days. It was pretty contained because that was part of the story. So, you know, when you're shooting a feature film, you want a micro-budget feature film, you pretty much want it to be contained. So everything was there. Kitchens were there. Look, you know, can shoot the movie. There's a basement there. So that was the only way I could do the movie in 6 days, really, you know.
No, I can't let you off that easily. I mean, upstairs is beautiful. You have a massive space.
Yeah,
like the ability to move your camera, the ability to set up actors, the ability to do whatever you want. You even have like scenes that things are going on in the background. Your main character's doing something else.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you find a space like this?
Well, there's a few scenes in there that are shot somewhere else. We shot in there's a basement in it as well, but we had to shoot somewhere else because we went a day over and I couldn't have the other actors there. But the main 90% of it is shot there. But I couldn't find that location anywhere in Scotland because everything looked kind of clinical and white. I wanted somewhere that looked as if it had been lived in and there was wires and there was old lights. So I actually booked that location before I had the money. I was on a Kickstarter. It wasn't finished yet. I told the guy and I booked it. I took a chance on it. So it took a while to find, and it was probably the only place in the whole of Scotland. It looked as if I'd built the set and created it for the movie, if you know what I mean.
It did. Now, the basement, is all that stuff really in the basement?
There's some basement stuff in there that's in the movie, but the other basement stuff with some props was actually shot in Glasgow, which is 100 miles away, you know. But the studio is big as well. But the other stuff, because I could only afford the actresses for so many days, and they live, one of them lives in Florida, and the other two live down in the UK, so I couldn't bring them back, but I could bring the main actor that plays, you know, Simon plays Damien Self, I could bring him back and shoot some of his stuff. So it's kind of mixed up, but most of the movie was shot in that studio, you know.
So in 6 days, how much planning do you do ahead of time? Like, I figure everything is planned out to the minute.
The shots weren't planned because I was producing it and it was moving so fast. But the script was solid. The script was really solid. The cast loved the script. You can't improvise something like that. You can do some improvisational stuff, but when it's very much dialogue driven as well and very visual. So the script was really, really solid. I knew I wanted to do something that was dialogue with characters, but I wanted to do something that's very visual as well. You know, I wanted to make a movie rather than just a, you know, characters talking to one space, and it's such a great space, so you want to move fast, and it was shot a mixture of DSLR and mobile phones and stuff, you know. So, my first movie was set in Scotland, LA, and Las Vegas. It was all over the place, and it was too many locations. You know, I learned from that. You've got to pretty much contain something when it's a micro budget, you know, as much as possible, you know. And if you can't tell a story in a contained location, you're not really a storyteller anyway, you know.
So on your micro budget, did you have to cut things you wanted to do throughout the film?
And cut things in what way? Cut things out of the script that I couldn't shoot, or you mean
yes,
with that?
When you got to that level.
No. I pretty much wrote the story for the budget that I had, rather than saying I'm doing the micro version budget of a 4 million movie. No, I've got a 4 million version, but I wrote the budget version, the micro budget version. So practically everything that I shot is in the film. The only area that I didn't, the end scene, the action was rushed a little bit. I wanted more action at the end, but I couldn't bring the actors back because they're all over the place. It probably cost the same again, half of the budget. But I wasn't selling it as an action sort of film. I was selling it as a sort of re-exploitation movie. So I could live with that, if you know what I mean. In the sequels, there's more action, you know, but in this one, So sorry, I'm swaying for your question. What was your question again there? Yeah, I wrote this. Yeah, I wrote this based on the budget. So I didn't. I more or less shot everything that was in the script, and I shot some things that actually took out the script, and it just didn't work, you know. But we were practically running from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night, and then you know, so it was pretty full on, you know.
Yeah, let's go back. I think your ending works. I think you set that up early,
yeah.
About halfway through, I would say. I mean, we pretty much know the ending, roughly what the ending's going to be. I'm not saying I know the last scene of the film, but I mean,
yeah,
if you're
yeah.
saying you had a budget issue, I understand what you were looking for.
Just some better murder kills, better, more kind of killings and more. You know, do you know what I mean? Yeah, more of that.
Okay,
you know.
Let's be honest. I do have my notes. You're a little light on blood. I did put that in my notes.
Yeah. Sequel, too much blood, probably. I'm going to go. But in this one, I think I managed to scrape it through for the budget that I had in the movie I was trying to make, you know. Yeah,
because I guess I could not give you anything. We have one early kill I'm talking about, and there's no blood on that kill. And was that a planned idea, or you just didn't have the budget for the blood?
We just probably ran out of time. I mean, I swear to God, when we were leaving that night to finish the shoot, the guy that owns the studio was practically throwing us out the door. You know, we were finishing at 8 o'clock, and it was 5 to 8, and he's practically throwing the bags out the door.
Wow.
Normally, when I've made movies, you're shooting them over weekends over a year, so you can actually come back with a cast.
Right.
This one was different. This one was like my first movie with a budget, except I didn't have a budget. Everybody came from down London, down south. This is in Scotland, so they travelled, they stayed in hotels. So once that was gone, that was it. Nobody could come back because it would cost half the budget in the movie again to bring them back. So
no
you
problem.
Have to... But at the same time, that creates a good discipline because actually... To try and get through this script, probably it almost seemed not doable. It creates a good discipline to get it done, to start off a little franchise, and you know, because the whole point of this is to start a little franchise. It just wasn't. If it's one movie and it was only ever going to be one movie, I'd probably say I'll shit this over a year, you know. But I think if you get a concept and you can live with it, and it's not, you know, it's got that thing about it's a micro budget, and you know. Because you could sit for 2 years tweaking and try to bring people back, and before you know it, nobody gives a shit. They forgot about it. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Nobody's waiting. You know. So that was the idea, really, to get it made. You know, and I think some people will forgive some flaws here and there, unless you work with $1 million or more than that or whatever. You know.
I think anybody watching indie film has to accept you have X. You can't go over X. Let's say it's $100, $1,000,
$1,000.
That's it. So you've got to do what you can with it, that money.
It's the old Robert Rodriguez thing where you start bringing out the money hose and you start spending money and more time before you know it. You've went down a road that is...
Exactly.
And you're sitting here 4 years later, you know. And they don't deserve that time, movies. They have to go pretty fast.
Yeah.
You know, they have to be... Especially today's content in TikTok world, you know, people want to see what's next, when's the next one, and then the next one will be better, the next one will be better. And before you, because the idea is, well, in a few years' time, you know, the idea is to create a concept and create a series of micro budget movies. But then I'll go back and say, right, I've got a concept here, I've got the 5 million version with, I don't know, Mia Gothan or something, I've got the bigger version. But if you don't start, you don't have nothing to show, you know what I mean? So. But it's a cross between trying to entertain an audience and they're not wasting 90 minutes of their time, and at the same time you're providing a proof of concept of what you can do to build something bigger, you know.
Absolutely. Okay. So you told me you have one actress that's from Florida, couple actors from Scotland, I presume, or UK.
Yeah, there's three actresses in it. They come from down south in the UK. Stella, who plays the main lead, she's been from the UK as well, but she's moved to Florida. The guy that plays the corporate guy, Kieran, who plays James, the money man, he comes from London. And the guy who plays the main lead is from Scotland. So, you know, there was one Scots person there, but the rest of them are pretty much from over the UK.
Okay.
You know,
I'm going to go a little bit more into this. I want to know, where do you find a certain type of actor that will do what you need them to do?
That's a good question, especially for this movie, because this was completely different. This was totally different. The main actor, Simon, who plays the filmmaker, I'd known for years and I'd worked with him in a few films. So I know he was like the beating heart of it. I knew how to work with him, and he's a seasoned actor that's acted in movies and TV and everything else. The actresses, I couldn't use conventional actresses because the agents would be on the phone to say, well, how much are you going to show here? How much are you going
to
could have that, you know? So it was basically, I wasn't just looking for, you know, women that do OnlyFans. I was looking for women that like movies. Because a lot of people, if you go to women that just to say some scenes you take your clothes off, you can find them everywhere, but they've got a, this is what it's going to cost. But I wanted somebody that's still into movies, and they don't want to be actresses, but they still love movies and they wanted to, it's exciting for them to see it as an opportunity to play a part that they've never done before. So I basically, for me, it's really important. That's why filmmakers work a lot with the same people. It's me. It's important for me to find out who the person is and speak to them and meet them and find out, do I want to hang about with him for 6 days? It's going to be pretty stressful. Do they like me? Vice versa. You want to get people that you can get on with as well. And look, if they couldn't act, right? If they couldn't act, they're going to be fucking dolls. Do you know what I mean? So they could be slightly wooden if it came to that, you know. Stella, the main character, I wanted her to be able to act. You know, the other two are they're really important characters. So it was going to be a bonus if they could act as well. But that was my safety net. But it was more important for me to get on with them. So I had one of the best experiences working with actresses. And the actor that played the corporate guy, I'd never really worked with him before, and a great experience working with him as well. So it's for me, casting sometimes is a lot to do with your gut instinct. It's got nothing to do with where you see. Some of they can really act. If they can, sometimes they can really act, and they're a complete pain in the backside, you know. And if you're going to work with 6 days and a shoot that's really tough, you've got to know that it really you've got a team that's in the trenches where it's on your side, you know. So the casting was quite unconventional, but it worked. It was a big risk, you know, but everything was a risk in this film. You know, it could have completely collapsed day one, you know.
It could, yes. Okay, back to the film. You do a quick switch to black and white at one point, and we never return to that. Why?
Well, because when you're shooting a film like this, again, I was shooting in DSLR, I was shooting in phones, I was mixing up the format. Because I was shooting so fast, okay, we don't have time, I'll shoot this in the phone and shoot. But the idea that I had in the post-production was to mix up the formats anyway, because he's a filmmaker from the 90s. That world is gone. His world of VHS and HD and everything else is changing. He's not evolved with that world. So I like the idea that because it was about a filmmaker and a studio, that I could get away with a lot as well. If some scenes are over, there was a big window that was bringing in too much light. Well, let me just put some plugins in that to do with some mixing it up with some 8mm. You know, you use your creative problem solving sometimes to make the film creative as well. If you watch Natural Born Killers, you know, I mean, it never stays to anything. You know, Robert, it's all over the place, black, white, 8mm, whatever. But you've got to do it within, you know, the sense of the story as well. The sense of the story, sometimes you don't know if you're in this guy's head in a fantasy and he's thinking about these dogs and he's seen them on a bed, or he's shooting it, or it's just in his head, or, you know. So I just wanted to have some fun with the formats, a bit of black and white, a bit of 8mm, but maybe I was having too much fun with it, it was too much. No, but I think if you're going to get away with it in a movie, you can maybe get away with it in a movie. It's about a filmmaker, you know, and he's making trashy films. So that was the idea. I kind of played around with it. You know, I could have shot the whole movie in black and white, but I think when you get females with their clothes off, you want some flesh tones in there as well.
I would think so. If this is what you're going into the movie for, you probably want that. Yes.
Yeah. You don't want all black.
Early on in the film, there's names on a blackboard, a whiteboard. You have a bunch of names of films.
Yeah,
are these your films or films you haven't made yet?
Have you looked at some of those names?
Yes, I have.
I ain't making those bloody films, no. No, that's the characters' movies. That's has really bad movie ideas and his bad sequels. You know, whether it was, I forget some of them. Teen Intruders 9 or something. No,
yeah, I had to ask. I'm like, these are kind of funny. I'm going to have to ask.
Hey, maybe that's the movies that I'll only get to make in the future after this, but who knows?
You never know.
No, that's his movies. You know, I ain't taking the blame for those. Not just yet, you know.
What? Okay, I have to ask, what is your favorite flavor of Jell-O wrestling?
Oh, that's a curveball. Yeah, I say it's throw me a curveball. It's got to be strawberry, I suppose.
Hey, you brought it up in the film. I'm just pulling stuff out of your
Oh,
film. Don't blame me.
that's right. That's right. That's right. You're right. Completely. Well, that was one of the improvised scenes that Simon did.
Oh, okay. See, I
There
don't
was,
know. I just
yeah, there
make
was some
notes while I'm watching.
there was some scripted stuff, but then I went like that. Forget the scripted stuff. I just want you to spit out stuff. Because
But
he's meant to be in coke and he's high energy and he's off his head. So I thought, let's just try and improvise stuff and do stuff. So he spat some of that stuff out there and I kept it because it was so kind of in the moment, you know. But yeah, you got me there. Yeah.
when we're working with that kind of actor, like, do you have to hype him up, or he's coming in hyped ahead of time?
No. If I've got to hype an actor up, I've got the wrong actor. You know, I pick the
Okay.
actor that I know it's already on. It's got dials to 11, you know. And Simon's the type of actor. He's been doing it for like 30 years. He's been in soaps. He's been everything. But he's got the same enthusiasm as a child, as if he's done it. You know, like if a band goes on stage and sings a song and they've sung it 1,000 times, it sounds as if they've done it the first time. He's like the first time, so he's got the same energy, and that's why I like working with him. You know. And he's willing to try things and fail at things and willing to make himself look silly or whatever. Willing to, you know, do some of the scenes that he had to do in the movie as well, you know.
So, who did the CGI effects? There's numerous CGI effects in this film.
Is there? What's
There's a
what if it,
few.
CGI, in what way?
On the film, maybe it's just an ADR afterwards when you're doing the shots and you have a lot of graphics on your film.
Oh yeah. The graphics and stuff and the plugins. Yeah, I did everything there. You know, I had kind of some fun with that. It's probably sometimes too much fun. There's maybe too much. But you know, I done all that. I done a lot. I done the editing, the whole post production, pretty much everything. You know, because when you're working with a micro budget, you just couldn't get things done if you've got it. It just costs more. So I've learned to shoot, write, direct, produce, do the post, do a lot pretty much until I can get a budget one day. Yeah, bring in people that I can afford. You know what I mean?
Well, when you do the phone voice, when he's calling people, do you do ADR that, or is that person on set?
No, that was a person with a script. One of my friends was on the set with a script, and he's talking it, and then I replaced the lines, the voices later. And while you're asking there, I didn't have any. I didn't have enough money after it to employ other actors. So ideally, I would like to use actors, but I've been experimenting with AI. So I use the so all those voices are AI, you know.
Oh, okay.
Every single one of them, the females, the males, you know.
Interesting.
Which you can also put your own voice in and distort it, and your own voice goes back in a distorted sort of way. And look, ideally, on a budget movie, you don't want to do actors that work, and you want to pay them. But it was either that or I'm putting all the voices in, and I ain't good enough. So it was like. Experiment with AI. Look, this movie would not exist without AI because the only thing, I know it's a different thing I'm going to hear. I only had an AI poster, which I don't know if you can see in here, in the background here. That is the pitch poster that I had for Kickstarter to get the movie made. And that basically helped get the movie made. So AI to me is a tool. It's not a creative, didn't take over your creative control. It's a tool like CGI is a tool. And to create a vision that if you can afford it, you get an artist if you can afford it. You get other actors if you can't. You're working at this level, use it. If you're Hollywood, you can fucking afford it, so you shouldn't be using. You know, me. You know, I'm using anything that I can do to get the movie made and finished. You know, that's a long question answer to your question, but
No, perfect. That's the
you know,
answer I want. I want long
yeah,
answers to the
yeah,
notes.
yeah, yeah.
The color palette for Simon, it's blue on blue and very loud.
Yeah. Yeah, it's meant to be very loud, you know. Probably what his colors, he's sorry, his dress.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
Yes,
yeah,
his.
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's probably not loud enough.
Well, because when you dress your other actors, they're very subdued. I thought,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? It seems to be like a complete contrast between
Yeah,
the two.
he's meant to be a complete over-the-top character. If you see the scene in the bathroom with him, in the toilet, where he's talking about having sex with the dolls, not having sex with the dolls, it's his alter ego talking there. That the person he's playing a sort of character, he's playing a sort of You know, when I first came up with the film as well, I always loved that scene. It's nothing like that, but I always liked that character Alfred Molina played in Boogie Nights. You know, where the guy's dropping the chain. You know, just this guy goes about a house quarter a day long, you know. So I think the Simon character has to get any a character in the way. He's playing this character. So I also go with the actor. I've seen him, the character, that way, but also go with the actor. And he wanted to be kind of more flamboyant and kind of over the top and be. And I think, and again, look, it's called fucking Psycho Sex Dolls. It doesn't, it's not good. It's not like a, if it's, it shouldn't be dialed down. It should be dialed quite high up.
Oh,
You
I
know,
agree.
it's meant to be fantasy. It's meant to be, you know.
You do experiment with a lot of shots, and I want people to know that this is not a very conventional shot movie, I would argue. You
Yeah.
experiment a lot. And I do want to, I call it a box shot, but I may have the wrong term. Like you
Yeah.
come right in and then come right out, and you
Yeah.
experiment with that for about, I'd say about 5 minutes. So during out the movie, were you just trying out different things constantly?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm experimenting with things because I made a crime series for years before, and the crime series, when you're making a series, it's pretty much you're talking, people talking over tables, and then you've got a gun battle once in a while. So you get kind of starved creatively with, you know, experimenting with visuals, you know. And I thought in this movie, I've got a studio here. I'm going to play about with the visuals. I'm going to do something wrong, whatever. It's a, you know, but I know I'm making a movie for nothing, and I know there's no risk on it. I'm not doing a Francis Ford Coppola with Megalopolis, and I love Francis Ford Coppola, where you're experimenting with $120 million. You can experiment with $12,000, whatever. And if it goes wrong, doesn't matter. I'll pull it back in the next movie. I've tried that. I'll pull it back in the next movie. I think we experiment. You should try things that people, some people have watched it and they love it, and some people have watched, oh, I didn't like that visual, I liked that, and some people love it. I can't go by that. I've got to experiment for myself so that when I know in the next movie I've done that, that didn't work for me. That did. I've got to stick with what I'm doing. But yeah, I like to play around with it and try things and different things, especially in post-production, because when you're on the set, there's things that you can do in post. But you get to a level where it is kind of experimental, and that's why it is a franchise and there's a few films. So by the time it gets to the second movie, it'll probably get its another style. That's, you know, but I think you should play with, and I think you should experiment with the risk of failure. You know, if you don't want to risk failure, you're not really doing anything. You're keeping it safe. You're keeping it nice and locked. That's for television. You could do that. That's very easy to do. Just keep it nice and locked and safe. I would rather completely fail trying something than, you know, than just keeping it safe, you know. So yeah, there's things that work, things that don't work, whatever. You know, it is what it is, you know. And I like something that, well, that's a different thing. I like, if everybody liked it, I've done something wrong. You know, I've got to do something. Do you know what I mean? You
True.
know.
Do you have a proof of concept? Like one day you got up, said, "This is the film I want to make." Or do you one of these directors, producers that have 17 films on the go, and one just hits you one day and say, "Okay, I'm doing this one."
No, I don't struggle for ideas. I've got more ideas than I've got life left, you know. But what I did do, I came up with this concept for an anthology series called Mad World, which pretty much self-explanatory, the way the world is. So I was doing a Kickstarter for Mad World, an anthology series of different 30-minute stories, and there was crime in there, and there was horror in there, and I knew it was going to be too much money for that. So I said, let me take one of those stories, one of those stories with Psycho Sex Dolls, and turn that into a movie, because I'd already done crime. I wanted to something completely different, you know, and something more sensational. But the concept for it, the title, just I wanted to reverse engineer something. I wanted to experiment. Here's an example. When you go through Netflix today, or you go through Amazon Prime Video, you're scrolling, you've got a thumbnail to sell a movie. And that thumbnail is either Tom Cruise face or an indie movie, but you've got to sell that on a thumbnail or on a stream for people to stop. So I wanted to try and reverse engineer something. Okay, I've got a title. There's a crazy title. Okay, there's a mad title. Then when I was experimenting with AI, with posters, I came up with a doll's face, and I went through about 50 doll faces, and one had a nail that was too big, and one had a missing fucking eye, and I came up with this one eventually, and then a scary one. And when I put the title in there, that was that. It was like the old days of going to Cannes Film Festival. You've got a poster and a title and keep it simple. And then I went, okay, what the fuck is this? Can I make a story from this that I can still, okay, you've got these psycho sex dolls. Is it some pervert that's just got these dolls to have sex with and whatever? That's not interesting enough for me. It's got to be a personal story. And then when I come up with a filmmaker story and the financer, it made it more personal for me that I could get something out of it as well. It's not just an exploitation film. So I worked back the way trying to sell the movie, and actually it was quite, and look, if I didn't come up with a good story, I would have dumped it, because just having a poster and title was not enough for me. It's got to still have a story that I want to make. You know, I've got to be excited about it. So reverse engineering it was actually a good, rather than coming up with an idea for a movie and then the poster comes later, whatever, and you go, how do I sell this? You know, which is most movies. So I just wanted to experiment with it, and it kind of exploded for there. And then it came into the sequel, and it came into a bigger world, because when the dolls leave the studio, it doesn't become a story about the filmmaker. It becomes a story about the three AI dolls, and that becomes another story. It completely takes, it's not, I'm not interested in sequels unless it takes another evolution in some way. So it basically came from a title, and that was it, you know. And this, it seems very contrived, but actually it's probably been the most creative thing that I've, in terms of, sometimes the simplest ideas can be the ideas that are creative as well. They don't have to be this complex, you know, idea that you've got for a movie, you know. And online today, you've got to communicate something very simple. Hey, look, I might be taking it down a road that people think it's just about sex and it's just about dogs. And then they come in, they see there's another story there. So some people may like, and some people... but that's what movies are like anyway, whether it's a $100 million Joker movie or whatever. Do you know what I mean? There's, you know, you've got elements in there people are like, and some, you know... originally, it was going to be a bit more of a horror movie. That's going to be the sequel. You know, the sequel takes a much darker. This is more comical. The next one's much darker. Yeah. Sorry, waffle in there, but, you know.
Perfect. All right. I'm moving on to fun questions now. Your favorite film?
One film, really. One film.
They don't have to give me one. Everybody gives me more than one. Don't worry.
I go from both. I love exploitation movies. I love the classics like The Godfathers and the Mean Streets and the, but I love the Big Lebowski and Fargo and Roger Corman movies and exploitation movies. So it's a mixture of solid kind of, you know, classic movies and a mixture of exploitation films. But probably, I keep going back to probably Mean Streets. Which seems very, you know, different from this tape, you know.
Do you have a favorite film of 2024?
Do you want the truth? I haven't been alive in 2024 because I've been trying to finish this, you know, film and everything else. I want to see The Substance. I want to see that, you know.
It's excellent. I've seen it.
And I haven't seen, I know that's from a couple of years ago, the movie Pearl. And then Maxine, I haven't seen Maxine. I don't know if it's any
I've
good.
I've seen Maxine.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I usually catch up at Christmas, you know.
There you go. Favorite, last question, your favorite movie snack?
Could be popcorn.
Before I let you go, tell everybody where they can find your films.
You can find me on the movie. There's a website for the movie, psychosdolls.com. So that's where the movie is. I'm on social media, David Wild 66, pretty much everywhere, which is Twitter, Instagram. If you type in Psycho Sex Dolls, it'll come up in Google. My name will come up. You know, David Wild will come up, filmmaker everywhere. So it's pretty much, I've got, you know, on social platforms. So, yeah, that's about it.
Thank you for your time and have a great day.
Thanks, Simon. Really appreciate it. Thank you as well, man. Thanks a lot. Cheers.